Come on, open up your mouth and give God a great praise right there. Hallelujah. It will never lose its power. Well, good morning, Hopewell. Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I don't know about nobody else. I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to be glad in it. Amen? Amen. Listen, to those that are watching online, welcome to the Hopewell Experience, whether you're on YouTube or Facebook. We're so glad that you have tuned in because you had other options, but we're so glad that God orchestrated your fingertips to lead you to the Hopewell Experience. Those in person, can you help me praise God for all of our online viewers? Come on, y'all can do better than that. Help me praise God for our online viewers. Amen. We're so glad once again that you have tuned in. If we have any first-time guests that are worshiping with us today, just wave at me. You're not going to get the mic. We're not going to make you stand and be all awkward. I don't want you to be uncomfortable. But if you're here for the first time, just wave at me this morning. Any first-time guests, amen, amen. Keep waving at me. Our ushers are bringing you a connections card, and this is our point of contact. We want to thank you. I want to personally thank you for coming to worship with us today, because again, you had other options, but we're so glad that you came out to the Hopewell Experience to be with us this morning. Those in person, help me praise God again for all of our first time guests. Woo-hoo! Come on, y'all. Y'all can do a lot better than that. Amen. Our ushers gave you a connections card. If you can fill that out and then place it in the offering basket during offertory time, again, this is our point of contact, just to say thank you for coming to worship with us. We are so delighted. We are so elated that you are here worshiping at the well with us today. You're at the right place at the right time. And I got good news. God has something to say to you through his word today. So again, we're so glad that you're here with us today. Listen, it has been an awesome weekend. Yesterday, we were able, by the grace of God, to do one of our biggest outreaches. We gave away 2,000 backpacks with supplies in them. I don't hear nobody saying nothing. Oh, my goodness. It was absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. I mean, there were cars all around down Marion Street, two blocks down. It was just absolutely amazing. And to see Carbondale and the community at its finest. I mean, we had school officials, reps from SIU, all the school districts represented in Carbondale. It was amazing. Different groups throughout that were here to help us to be able to live out our vision. And I am just so grateful to God that God allowed us to be able to do it. And I know she ain't gonna like this, but I gotta do it. I tell you, we have one of the best back to school coordinators this side of heaven. Sister Chanel Burroughs, y'all help me make some noise for her. My goodness. Yeah, I know she gonna call me in the office after church today, amen. But I'm ready for her, amen, because I'm the shepherd, amen. But she is just absolutely incredible. No one knows the work year-round that Miss Chanel puts into this. She shops all year. This is how crazy it is. She has relationships with the managers at the stores, and they call her. They say, hey, Chanel, we got stuff on sale. Just tell us what you want. We'll have it ready in boxes for you once you get here. That's the relationship that she has built. She works tirelessly, effortlessly to get this done. She has a team, but back to school is her baby. And I'm so proud of her because she wanted to get up here and say thank you to everybody. Y'all know she don't do stuff like that. So I couldn't tell her no. I couldn't tell her no.
Good morning, everybody. Okay. First, I just want to say thank you to my Hopewell family. You guys showed up and showed out. This is the first year where we stuffed 2,000 book bags in 2 days. I also want to thank everybody in the community that came out. I don't care if you came for an hour, for 30 minutes. Everything that you did, we would not have been able to do it without all of your help, whether you gave it financially, if you dropped off supplies, if you were here during those 2-3 days where we were stuffing. I just want to say how very appreciative I am for everything that you did, for all the sororities, the what Pastor said, because I'm going to forget somebody and I don't want to do that, but for all the different sororities, all the different fraternities. Of course, I want to say a special thank you to the Alphas, because you know. I'm not saying, you know, the other fraternities aren't all, you know, that, but the Alphas are my heart. But anyway, you know, the Kappas and this, you know, everybody else too. All of you guys, I am so appreciative. There are no words that I can say to say thank you. I do want to do a special shout out for just a couple people. First and foremost, my husband, because he puts up with me every year, whenever I do, or throughout the year. And having stuff in the house, and he stumping his toe, and just, when are you gonna move this? When are you gonna take it back to the church? And I'm like, August 5th, baby. Everything will be over August 5th. Also, I want to do a special thanks to Deacon Brian and Sister Brian, because they went to Fairview Heights to pick up schools, the backpacks, because we pretty much bought out everyone here in Carbondale, so we had to go out of state. I want to say thank you to Ms. Roslyn. Ms. Roslyn has been my ride or die. She's been with me the entire week, from coming in at 7 in the morning and staying until 9 o'clock at night or whenever. Also, special shout out to my assistants, which they're not here, but those are the swim girls. I am their assistant, and they are the ones that run things. Because every day they come to me, Miss Chanel, do you got anything for me to do? Miss Chanel, do you have anything for me to do? I sure do. What you want to do? And I'm not going to be before you, but Miss Carrie, she was working. My mom was telling me, oh, shout out to my mom for coming and my aunt. Miss Carrie was working in the room with the notebooks and stuff, and she kind of wanted to do things her own way, but she was very respectful for the way that they were doing things. And so they ran out of space at top, and so she was like, well, let's put it at the bottom, and she did it her own way, but she got it done. And Miss Kennedy, the same thing. They were both just on it. What can I do? What can I do? So I just want to say thank you to everybody. Just thank you. So.
Good morning, Hopewell family. Good morning. Good morning. I need us to do something first. I need us to repeat after me. Oh, I didn't get to know. Oh, J. Wu Yi. Now say it all together. OJ Wu Yi. I'd like to present to you Mrs. Tessie OJ Wu Yi. Come on, Mrs. Miss OJ Wu Yi has successfully completed orientation class. And so when I asked her what ministry that she wants to be in, she says, I'm available. Now, ministry leaders, I don't know if you know the kind of gift that we have standing before you, but she has been an elder and a prayer leader. She's led the women's ministry. She's a financial advisor. So ministry leaders, she's going to get taken up real quickly by a lot of different folks. So I want you to, the word tells us that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he has prepared for us in advance. So on behalf of the Hopewell Missionary Baptist Church, on having successfully finished the course of instruction for the new members, hereby award you this certificate of completion on this August the 6th, 2023. Pastor Swims, I present to you Tessie OJ Wu Yi. Amen. Thank you.
God, I can sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than anything. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you.
If you love him, this is your moment to say something to him. I said, if you love him, this is your moment to say something to him. I'm not going to tell you what to say, but if you love him, take this time to say something. Come on, express your love to him. Say something to him, something to him, something to him. Say something to him. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, say something to him. Say something to him. Say something to him. Say something to him. Come on, say something to him. Say something to him. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Say something to him. Say something to him. Say something to him. God, we love you. God, we love you. We love you because you first loved us. And it's because of your love towards us, it makes it easy to love you. What kind of man would lay down his life with no guarantee that we will put our trust in you? What kind of man will lay down his life? No nobody but a God that's loving. Nobody but a God that's gracious. Nobody but a God that's kind like you. So we say we love you, Master. We say we love you more than the finest house, more than the finest car, more than all the money in the world. Because if we get you, we get all the other stuff. We love you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, clap those hands. Clap those hands. Grab your Bibles and stand with me and journey to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. What a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord. What a privilege it is to stand before you to declare the word of God. It's been a month. Amen. But thank God for the privilege to be a mouthpiece for God. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Just two verses, verses 6 and 7. 1 Samuel chapter 1. To all of our elders and ministers, our deacons, to our mothers, Lady Brittany, to all of God's people. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. When you have it, say amen. If you don't, just say, wait, Reverend, wait on me, wait on me. It's up there on the screen, 1 Samuel 1, 6 and 7. So Peninnah would taunt Hannah and make fun of her because the Lord kept her from having children. Year after year, it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. Each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. I want to talk to you this morning from the subject, everybody needs a Peninnah. Everybody needs a Peninnah. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, the preacher's going to preach about. Everybody needs a Peninnah. And that includes you. And that includes me. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Everybody needs a Peninnah. If truth be told, life has a way of making space without our permission for there to be unexpected pressure and unexpected frustration. Okay, let me look for my church this morning. Brother Jimmy, life has a way of creating space on our calendar for unexpected pressure and unexpected frustration to just almost like Disney magically appear. The week can be going well. In fact, you've had a great week. You woke up with your mind stayed on Jesus. You woke up excited about life, and then all of a sudden, bam! The one person that you just knew was gonna call in on Monday shows up to work, and now your whole day, in fact, they irritate you so bad, Brother Moore, that your whole month is now ruined because they showed up on Monday. Life has a way of working through things and working through people that bring about unexpected frustration and unexpected pressure. I've learned, he's testifying, I've learned that because I don't know when the unexpected pressure and the unexpected frustration is going to happen, I have to beat the unexpected pressure and frustration to the punch. That I already prepared myself and I already armed myself to be ready for when things happen, get this, out of my control. That's pretty much the gist of our story today. Elkanah, a godly man, is married to a beautiful lady by the name of Hannah. Bible says that Hannah is barren. She cannot produce children. She cannot have a baby, Elder James. But here is the thing of the story. Hannah is barren because God has kept her womb closed.
All right.
In this time, in this custom, it was customary that it was very important for a wife to be able to produce a children for her husband, but not just children. It was important for her to be able to have a son, to have a male child, so that in the case, in the event that the father was to die, the mother would know that she would be well taken care of by her son. Her son would make provisions. Her son would make sure that she's covered and everything is handled. And here it is. Hannah is barren. Hannah is barren not because she does not want to try and have a child. Hannah is barren not because her and her husband can't get together and have a good time in fellowship. Hannah is barren because God has kept her womb closed. I have to keep it PG because it's not children's church today. And in the midst of this, because Elkanah understands what's going on and the context of what's happening, the Bible says that Elkanah makes a move and he goes and gets him another wife by the name of Peninnah. Now, we know that we see polygamy in the Bible. Let me help some husbands out real quick before you get yourself in trouble. I know that we see it in the Bible. I know that we see it in the Bible. I know that we see it in the Bible. Well, let me help you out before you end up spending the night here at the church on the altar. I know you see it in the Bible. But when we see polygamy in the Bible, we always see that it leads to chaos. It leads to trouble. He goes and he gets this wife by the name of Peninnah. And Peninnah knows the condition of Hannah. Word has traveled, Stacia. Everybody knows that Hannah is barren. And Peninnah knows that she's barren. And she uses this as a prime opportunity to be able to strut her stuff. And what does she do? Peninnah produces him children. She gives him what he desires. She gives him what Hannah could not do. And because she knew that she had the one up on her, Mother Henry, the Bible says that as they made their way to the tabernacle, they would make their way to the tabernacle three times a year to be able to sacrifice and to be able to worship. The Bible says as they made their way to worship year after year, Peninnah was there to remind Hannah of what she wasn't. Year after year, Peninnah was there to front in front of her, I'm more of a woman than you are. Peninnah was there year after year. Can you imagine? You're getting dressed. You're trying to get the kids ready to go to church. You're trying to get everything together. And you're on your way to church. And you got somebody behind you whispering in your ear, I was able to give your husband what you could not. What type of woman are you? You hear that noise? Those are my kids crying. Those are my kids asking for their mama. Year after year, she taught Hannah, and Hannah, she had to be saved and love God because she didn't turn around and backhand it real quick. She had to love the Lord. She really had. She went and had her mind on Jesus, Sister Greta, as she was on her way to church because she didn't lay hands on and pray that God would heal and recover her. She kept her eyes, and as she was on her way to worship year after year, it was almost like, hey, I realize the reality of my life and all that it is, but then it's that one day on the calendar that I know that we make a pilgrimage to the tabernacle to worship. She's going to show her face. And I have to be reminded of what I'm not. I have to be reminded of my barrenness. I have to be reminded of what I was not able to do for my husband. And the Bible says that Elkanah understood, because after she's been taunted day in and day out, the Bible says that she would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. And Elkanah, being a good husband, he would go and give her a double portion of the meat. And she still wasn't satisfied. And Elkanah, like some husbands, he was insensitive to the condition and the context of what was going on. He said, am I not more to you than 10 children? Brothers, we done did it. We done got in trouble. Don't just look at me and say amen. Don't look to your left. Don't, if your spouse is here, don't look at him. Amen. Look at me and say amen, Pastor. Amen. I'm not looking over there in the corner. I see my wife. Amen. Amen. Amen, Jesus. Amen. He did not realize that no gift that he could give could fill that void that she had. He did not realize that nothing that he could do could be able to fill that void. We all realize it, though, that there are some things and some voids that we have in life. I don't care if the baddest car that you can think of, it won't fill it. All the money in the world won't be able to fill it. The greatest design of clothes that you can think of would not be able to fill it. It's a void that's there. And the only way that you're able to be to be calm and to deal with that void is having your trust in God. Penina, defined as a person or a thing that frustrates and or adds unnecessary pressure. Penina is a person. Penina is a thing that adds unexpected, unnecessary pressure and frustration to our lives. All of us in this room, we got something in common this morning because all of us got a penina. Or I'll put it this way, all of us have peninas because we may have a person and a thing. We may have people. We may have things. We all have something that adds unexpected, unnecessary pressure to our lives. And though, like Paul, when Paul had that thorn in his side, prayed to Jesus, prayed to God three times and said, Lord, if you can go and remove this thing, I would greatly appreciate it. And you have been praying and asking God, God, can you remove this? God, can you change them to another department? God, can you move this thing? God, can you take this away? And God turns around and says to you what he said to Paul, I won't take it away, but I'll give you grace. Because my grace is sufficient enough for you. What do you do when God won't take Penina away and he offers you grace instead? What do you do when you have been praying consistently? I'm not talking about just a one-time prayer. I'm talking about you have daily, minute-by-minute conversation with God. God, today I need you to move this or move them or move me. But in the conversation, God says, I won't move you. I won't move it. I won't move them. But I will give you the grace. Get this. Because here's the amazing thing about God's grace. It's not just saving grace. It is sustaining grace that God will give us. That when he will not allow us an out to be able to get out of it, God will give us the grace that will sustain us through dealing with our peninas. There's some lessons here that we can be able to learn from Hannah. There's some lessons here that we can be able to learn from Hannah on how to be able to deal with our peninas. I got to go ahead and say this real quick. We have to be so mindful. We have to be so mindful that we do not reduce our peninas down to people that's hating on us. Oh, I get so sick of hearing that preaching about everybody's hating on you. Because the truth be told, everybody is not hating on you. Some people are really not even thinking about you. They just thought about you because you came through on their timeline on Facebook. Other than that, they were not even thinking about you at all. There are some peninas that are there in our lives and things that are in our lives and people that are in our lives. Get this, you all, that have not been sent by the devil, but have been assigned by Almighty God to be in your life, to do a work in your life, to produce something in you that cannot be produced without Penina being present. Oh, I know we don't like that. Oh, well, Pastor, welcome back to you as well. I know, welcome back. We're all back together again. But there are some things that will not be produced in us, get this, you all, without stress and pressure being applied to our lives. Oh, God, help me this morning. Let me say it again over here. There are some things that will not be produced in our lives without stress, frustration, and pressure. I know, Reverend. I don't like you today. It's all good. I still love you, though. I get it. I get it. I get it. There are some things. There are some things that God desires to do in us. And I get this, you all. We want it to be such a beautiful thing that God wants to birth in us. We want it to be such an amazing thing that God wants to do in us. And it will be amazing at what the Lord wants to do in our lives, thanks to God. But he has a way of knowing that, hey, in order for me to be able to get out of them what I have placed in them and get out of them what I want to do in them and through them, I have to allow for some pressure. I have to allow for some heat. I have to allow for some frustration to happen in their lives so that my glory can be revealed and be done in their lives. Here it is, saints of God. While we're looking for comfort, God is not looking or concerned about our comfort. He's after our glory, his glory. He's asking himself, no, how can I make Miss Lynn more comfortable in her life? No, he's asking himself, how can I get more glory from her life for me? And sometimes God uses Penina to achieve his greatest glory. To achieve his greatest glory for himself and to do a good work in and through us. Let that marinate for a little bit. He uses Penina to get his greatest glory, but to also do a great work in us, through us. Can't imagine how Hannah must have felt. The embarrassment as we're making the journey to the tabernacle. Others around, and they're hearing her taunt me. They're hearing her say stuff. They're seeing the tears come down my eyes. Other women able to say, man, I can't even imagine how Hannah feels right now. Other women that have been there, they realize and know what she's experiencing, what's going on. But they see her continue to make her way to the tabernacle and never pause to deal with Penina. Can I tell you, I know this may not sound good, it may not sound real good to you. Sometimes, saints of God, the task is not to deal with Penina. The task is to stay forward and to keep going. Sometimes the task is not to pause and argue with Penina or try to fix Penina, but sometimes the task is to be able to stay true to the assignment and to keep moving forward. Sometimes the task is not for me to clap back on social media and say this and say that or come out with the video, but sometimes the task is for me to be able to keep my eyes on him and to keep moving forward and not turn to the left and not turn to the right and not turn back, but to keep focus and to keep going. Because you know what really makes the devil mad is when you keep going. You know what really ticks the devil off is when you keep going and he knows that there is pressure and he knows that there is frustration and he knows that stuff has just been jumping off all around you, but you continue to press your way and you continue to keep moving forward and you keep saying, I know it don't look good, I know it does not sound good, but this is yet still the day that the Lord has made and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Do you know what makes the devil mad is that when you make up in your mind that no matter come hell or hot water, I'm going to continue to press. Why? Because I'm still on the edge of miracles. I still believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ever ask, think, or wish. It makes the devil mad when you make up in your mind that I'm choosing ye this day who I'm going to serve, and I'm going to serve him until I die. Lessons can we learn from Hannah? Here it is. God uses the Peninas in our lives to awaken the worshiper within us. Oh, I like that right there. God uses the Peninas in our lives to be able to awaken the worshiper within you. Look at verse 7. We're a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church, amen. So you got to keep your Bibles here open at the well. I won't give you my opinion, amen. I'm going to give you what the Bible says. Look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, year after year, it was the same. Sheesh. Can you imagine that every year you're expecting that? Penina would taught Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. I told you earlier that it was custom for them to go to Shiloh. It was custom for them to go to the tabernacle 3 times a year for the feast. It was custom for them to go and to make sacrifices. But here is what I love about Hannah. Before I even get there, hear this, saints of God. Penina has a purpose in your life. Okay, change the language, Pastor. Penina, no. Frustration has a purpose in your life. Mm-hmm. Pressure has a purpose in your life. Hannah is on her way to worship. And as she's on her way to worship, Penina is behind her, taunting her. What I love about it is, though what she is experiencing does not stop her from making her way to worship. I thought I would have had a church when I said that. Okay, let me try it again. I said, what I love about it is though, Elder James, she has unnecessary pressure and unnecessary frustrations in her life right now, it does not stop her from getting to the tabernacle to be able to worship. Okay. Amen. Okay. Man, where's my church? It's been a month. I've been here though every Sunday. Here it is. What I love about it, though she has pressure, Sister Jeffro, though she has frustration, Sister Mac, she presses her way and continues to go to the tabernacle to be able to worship God. She takes the frustration, Elder Williams. She takes the pressure and uses it as fuel to keep her focused on God. Here it is. I love it because this is packed with so much. Bible says. Now we know that Eli is the priest. We know that his 2 sons, they were trifling. Oh God, they were trifling. They were trifling as priests in the temple. They were trying to holler at the girls that came in there. They were cheating people out of meat. I mean, they were taking some of the sacrifice and saying, hey, you give me a little bit of that. They were scaring the people into giving in their offerings and stuff. And they would tell them, give it to me now. They would take off a little bit for themselves. They would take off more for themselves, and they would have less to be able to give to God as a part of their sacrifice. And I love this. Even though Elkanah knew of the corruptness that was going on in the tabernacle, he did not allow that to stop him from taking him and his family to the tabernacle to be able to worship God. What are you saying, Pastor? He realized and understood, I'm not going to church for everybody else. I'm not going to church for the preacher. I'm not going to church for the mothers. I'm not going to the tabernacle for my neighbor. I'm going there for myself to be able to worship God. Here it is. When I get here, y'all look good, y'all smell good, but sometimes y'all ain't on the same energy that I'm on. And so instead of getting upset and being mad, I tell myself, Swims, this is the day that God has made, and I'm not letting nobody else mess that up. Since God made it, can't nobody destroy it. So I will enter into his gates with praise. I will enter into his courts with praise and be faithful unto him and lift up his name. Now can I realize that when I come to worship, I'm not coming for nobody else. I'm coming to have an encounter with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm coming to see El Kadah. I'm coming to see El Shaddai. I'm coming to see Jehovah Jireh. I'm coming to experience Jehovah Rapha. So excuse me if you don't stand. Excuse me if you don't shout. Excuse me if you don't say anything. I'm coming in with the joy of the Lord, because Nudu used to sing, this joy I have, the world can't give it, and the world can't take it away. Yes. way to awaken the worshiper in here. Here it is, saints. And we all need to hear this today. Worship requires sacrifice. Oh, I can tell by your faces you don't like what I said, but that's okay. Worship requires sacrifice. Worship requires sacrifice. Worship requires sacrifice. What do you mean by that, Pastor? That when I come, that when I'm getting ready to come to the house of God, it's not just in preparing my clothes the night before, Amber, and having those things out and making sure that I match. I want to be able to arrange well. I want to be able to look good and smell good. But it's not just about that. I got to get my heart together. I got to get my mind together. I have to realize and tell myself, no matter what has gone on this week, no matter what's going on this day, I got to get myself to the house of God. And when I get there, I want to be able to experience God in the fullness of his glory, in the fullness of his majesty. So I have to get my mind together to be able to worship. So I have to tell myself, I can't be concerned about what needs to be done after church. I can't be concerned about what awaits me on Monday. I can't be concerned about bills that may be due. I can't be concerned about things that's going on in my life. I have to come and give him the sacrifice of praise. I don't want to lift my hands. I got an attitude with God. I don't want to open up my mouth. But when I think about it, Brother Moore, God has been good to me, and he's been better to me than I've been to myself. And I told myself that once I get to church, I'm not standing up. I'm not lifting my hands. I'm not singing no song. But as the old saints would say, as my mind went back in wonder, my hands went up all of a sudden. I got up on my feet and I gave God praise and I gave God glory. I didn't want to do it, but I had to give him praise. It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. I know somebody in here right now. I know you're heavy with the weight of the world on your shoulders, but I dare you to lift your hands and worship. I'm looking at someone right now. I know you got demands and you have things on your mind and on your shoulders, but I dare you to lift up your hands and worship. I know some are grieving right now, but I dare you to lift your hands and worship. I know you're watching online right now and you're uncomfortable, but I dare you to lift your hands and worship. I dare you to 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 worship. Pastor, I got pressure. I know, but I dare you to worship. Pastor, I did not get the job. I know. I dare you to worship. God, Pastor, I lost my job. I dare you to worship. Pastor, I'm going through grief. I dare you to worship. Pastor, things are not going the way that I thought. I dare you to worship. Worship is a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. Sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. And here's what I realized. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Sometimes you may see me cry in worship. But sometimes, those tears, sometimes, Elder, are not out of appreciation for God. Sometimes those tears are a release because I don't have the words to say the depths of my heart. When you hear me scream and yell in worship, sometimes it's not a high praise to God. It's the cry and from the depths of my soul that I don't have the words. way that I'm able to get a release. It's to open up my heart. That's why I don't judge nobody's praise, Stacia. That's why I don't look at somebody and say, oh my gosh, here they are again. It don't take all that. That's why I appreciate the culture of the African-American church. That's why I appreciate the black church and how we express ourselves. Not knocking anything else. I know that we are all children of God. This is all I know. But that's why I appreciate the culture of the black church and how we express ourselves. Because sometimes my hands go up in adoration to God. But sometimes my hands go up because I say, God, if my hands go up, I may take somebody out of here. God, help me. 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 And we create space. We create space. We create space for people to be able to have that moment. If you got to yell, if you got to cry, if you got to scream, if you got to run, I don't have to know the history behind it. In fact, I would join in with you and cry with you. Worship requires a sacrifice. Because Penina will add pressure that all you can do is lift your hands and worship. Worship requires a sacrifice. Worship requires a sacrifice. Penina awakens the worshiper within her. But here's the last thing, and I'm done. Penina has a purpose of alarming the intercessor within her. Look at verse 9, y'all. That's why I love God's word, so it's so rich. Look at verse 9. It says, once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was deep in anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, O Lord of heaven's army, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He'd be yours for his entire lifetime, a sign that has been dedicated to the Lord. His hair would never be cut. In other words, he'll take the Nazarite vow. As she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her, seeing her lips moving but hearing no sound. He thought she had been drinking. Must you come here drunk? Isn't that what we say to people when they come in? He demanded. Throw away your wine. Oh, no, sir, she replied. I haven't been drinking wine nor anything strong, but I am very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I'm a wicked woman, for I have been praying out of great anguish. That word anguish means excruciating pain. I've been praying out of great anguish and sorrow. Not only does this woman, who's under unexpected frustration and unexpected pressure, not only does she take the time to worship, but she takes the time to pray. She takes the time to get God involved in the affairs of her life, Brother Brian. She takes the time to consult God and to bring her trouble and to bring her pain and to bring her pressures and to bring her frustrations to God in prayer. Oh, can I tell you something, saints of God? Oh, what a safe place we have with the Master. Oh, I'm so glad that I have a space where I can be able to come to God and talk to God and be real and be raw. And here it is. He is the best secret keeper ever. What I tell him is in full confidence, and nobody will ever find out about it. May we never be a people that forget or forfeit the right of prayer. That we don't limit prayer to just some little magic genie we rub on God, rub on and get him to do what we want him to do. But no. I'm not knocking because I go see a professional counselor. In fact, I'll go see him tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Praise the Lord. We got a whole lot to talk about. Amen. I'm not knocking it. I appreciate that. We need all of that. Oh, but when I tell you, saints of God, when I find myself time to steal away with God and to be with God and to connect with God and pray with God, I'm telling you, the old saints was right. Have a little talk with Jesus will make it right. The saints of old were right where they understood the power of prayer, when they understood that it's in that time of prayer, when I have that one-on-one time with God, undistracted time with God, that God in that time of prayer can refresh me. God in that time of prayer will renew me. God in that time of prayer will download and give me strategy and give me ideas down that in prayer God can do in me what's necessary. That in prayer, God's not worried about your title or your position, but he's coming for us. Yeah. 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 And Hannah takes the time to get God involved. And she prays. Bible says she gets there into the tabernacle and she's praying. And Eli sees her mouth moving, but hears no sound, and automatically assume she's drunk. Can we, as the church, can we, as people of God, stop trying to interpret people's lives and worry about our own? Can we as a people, ooh, I know that's kind of hard. Can we as a people stop trying to figure out what they saying and what's going on with them and worry about ourselves? He jumped to conclusions, get this, because he did not understand the level of her pain. And here it is, thanks to God, all of us must grow and mature to a place to realize that not everybody is going to understand the pressures and the frustrations that you are under. And when you try to explain it to them, they will interpret it into something else that is not. And we get frustrated because we felt that I could be able to talk to you and share this with you and you would understand. Not everybody is going to understand or be able to come into agreement about the unnecessary pain and pressure that you're under. So what does that mean? I can't talk to everybody about everything. That God will send people in our lives, maybe for a lifetime, sometimes for a season. He will send the right people in your life at the right time that will be able to walk with you through some unnecessary pressures and frustrations. Yeah. That will understand what's going on in your life. And that'll be willing to even share their own life experiences. And almost be like an escort and a guide to help you navigate through that time and season in your life. But she prays. I got to ask you a question this morning. Have you prayed about it? You posted about it, but have you prayed about it? You talked about it, but have you prayed to God about it? Despite the pressures, despite the pain, despite the frustration, she takes the time to get God involved into what's going on. Are we allowing Panetta to have her purpose in our lives? To alarm the intercessor within us to cause us to pray? Are we looking to get God involved, or are we just okay with telling everybody else about what's going on and never get God who can solve and bring an end to a thing in our lives? Because the Bible says that after she prays, Eli realized, I made a mistake, and he says that he prays a blessing upon her. And the Bible says that when she left the tabernacle, her countenance changed. Her countenance changed after she had consulted God in prayer and got God involved in her business. There was a change on her outward appearance. Because she prayed about it. Have you prayed about it? Have you gotten God involved in it? Are you just looking for a handout or a hand up? Have you got God involved? Have you talked to God about it? If you don't hear anything else that I've said today, here it is, saints of God. Penina will either cause you to grow up or to grow bitter. But the choice is yours. The choice is yours. Will you grow up from this? Or will you grow bitter from it? And I tell you this, there's nothing fun or enjoyable about being around a bitter person. Will you grow up from this? Or will you grow bitter from this? I know you don't like it. Neither do I. I know it's uncomfortable. I know it's frustrating. I know it's irritating. But everybody needs a Penina. And the truth be told, you wouldn't worship the way that you worship right now if it had not been for Penina. Truth be told, you wouldn't pray the way that you pray if it had not been for the unexpected pressure and frustration that's coming to your life. Will you grow up, or will you grow bitter? The ball is in your court and what you'll do. You ask any mother that's in the room right now that there was no greater joy than them holding their beautiful baby boy's daughter. But if you ask them, would you do it all over again? Someone would probably tell you no. Because of the pain that they had to experience. Though it was painful, though it was uncomfortable, it produced something beautiful. Pastor, what are you saying? The purpose of Penina is not just there, just to be there, because God's trying to pick on you. God's looking for his greatest glory. But he's looking to produce a great work in and through you. And the only way it'll be produced is through some pressure, through some frustration. He's trying to get worship out of us
is trying to get prayer out of us. And he's using the Peninnahs in our lives to be able to get there, but we shut down and we don't stop. We stop talking to God. We shut down and we don't worship. We shut our mouths. But I dare you, 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 saints of God, to change your perspective and change your mind and say, Lord, I hear you loud and clear. And I'm not going to allow the Penina or the Peninnahs in my life. I'm not going to allow the unexpected pressures and frustrations to cause me to shut my mouth. I'm not going to allow it to stop me from worshiping. I'm not going to allow it to stop me from praying. Because you'll realize when stuff gets crazy, that worship and prayer are your lifelines. Oh, I see I got some witnesses in the house that you'll realize that worship and prayer are your lifelines. I tell you, I didn't understand why growing up, my childhood pastor, the late Presley White Jr., and understand that one of the ladies from the church, when she would bust out in a hymn and sing, why tears would roll down his face. I didn't understand. Like, why Pastor White sitting up here crying? It's just words. Oh, but as I grew up, and I sat in the sea, and I realized I would hear the same song, and tears would roll down my face, and I said, now I know why Pastor White cried. Those tears and those moments were his worship. There were no words for him to be able to express. All he could do was allow the tears to roll. God's trying to get a worshiper out of you. God's trying to get a prayer warrior out of us. And he's using Peninnah with a purpose to be able to get it done. Just the question is, will we allow Peninnah to do his work in us? To produce what needs to be produced. I want to pray for you this morning. Just lift those hands to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, you know your children. You know your people. You know where they are. You know exactly what's going on. You know what's happening, Father God. You knew it before it even happened, Father. So I pray, I put them into your hands, oh God. I put them into your hands. I put them into your care, Father God. They have pressures. Yes, they may have come in here looking good. Yes, they may have come in sounding good. Yes, they may have come in smelling good, Father God. But they have unnecessary pressures, oh God, that have hit their life. They have frustrations, Lord God, at home, on the job. Some are frustrated with themselves, frustrated about life and how life has been life and how they're not where they think that they thought they should be in life right now. God, I pray that though you slay us, yet will we trust you. God, I pray. That we won't shut our mouths, oh God. I pray that we won't stop talking to you, God. God, I pray that we'll allow you to do your work in us. so that your glory can be accomplished. So that you can produce in us what needs to be produced. And it's in the strong name of Jesus we pray. And all of God's people said, come on, clap those hands real good. Clap, 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 clap.